Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Chapter 4, verse 1. A certain woman, hey, sisters in the Lord tonight, oh, watch, there's great comfort for you tonight. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, has died. And you know that your servant, my husband, feared the Lord. And the creditors, those people that we owe this huge debt to, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be as his slaves." Elisha says to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has what, everybody?" Nothing. Because that's kind of what we think we bring to this whole thing. Huge crisis. Big needs. What are you going to do, Lord? And God says, "What are you going to do?" "What do you mean, what am I going to do?" "Well, what do you have?" And we're the ones who often look around kind of quickly and we say, "I'll tell you what I got. I got nothing." "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a little jar of oil. This family is in debt because of the main breadwinner is gone and no apparent way to pay the debt. Her two sons now are on the hook." This is most of what we do. Look what I don't have. Look what God's word says. I want you to see what you do have. But it's so small, so insignificant. It's a great word for all of us tonight, especially if there is looming challenge ahead. Watch what he does here, verse 3. "And then Elisha said, 'Well, go borrow vessels from everywhere and from all of your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few, get a whole bunch of them.'" Verse 4, "And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it, that little bit of oil that you have, pour it into all those vessels set aside, the full ones." I wonder if she's doing the math in her head. I got this much oil. How many vessels do you want me to bring? What was the word of the Lord? "As much as you can carry." Okay, and then what am I going to do? "You pour it into the vessels, and then when that one is full, then pour the other one." Right. By the way, oil is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says, "But we Christians have this huge treasure." And he's speaking of the supernatural light of God. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellence of his power may be of God and not for us." That New Testament verse, here is your Old Testament model. Well, I only have a little bit. What are we supposed to bring to our huge challenge? My impressive resume, my considerable spiritual giftings, my aptitudes and ability. You know what God says? "I need you to bring just one thing. An empty vessel." And in the midst of our challenge right now, whatever that might be, how many of us can provide at least that? Now watch this. Verse 5. "So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured it out. And now it came to pass when the vessels were full. How many vessels? All the vessels that they could bring. She said to her sons, quick, bring me another vessel. Imagine her just pouring like this. Oh, put the next one. Put the next one. Quick, bring another vessel. And then he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Remember, this study through 1 and 2 Kings has been subtitled God's Kingdom Revealed. Here's a huge principle of God's kingdom. As long as we keep pouring out, God's supernatural provision will be pouring in. When we stop pouring out, God's supernatural provisions will cease. But I don't see or sense the Holy Spirit in my life. I know I've said on an occasion or two. Here's the teaching here. Are you, Steve, providing the empty vessel for him? Are we presenting our empty vessels at devotions in the Word of God? Don't I have to bring Bible dictionaries and commentaries? You can, that's always helpful. But really, the only required thing that you bring to God is what? An empty vessel. Are we presenting our vessels at prayer time? Tuesday nights, Monday through Thursday here, noon to 1 o'clock, or even your own prayer closet? Are we presenting our vessels at fellowship? You guys already passed that test because look what you did. You got here on a Wednesday night, and no small task. But here you are. And I pray that you felt, perhaps as I did, that sense of refilling. Not just being filled. I want you to notice that there's a process happening. You're filled to overflowing. Why? So that you, so that I, so that we can pour out by serving. That we can give away, so to speak, perhaps in intercessory prayer. God says, by all means, pour out your heart. Let your supplications and requests with thanksgiving be known to the Lord. But there's another place in prayer. It's the prayer that goes beyond, Lord, these are the things that are important to me, and God is glad to hear them. And you move into another type of prayer. It's called intercessory prayer. Where your prayers really aren't about what you need. Your prayers, as God lays them on your heart, are the prayers that other people need, but perhaps aren't praying for themselves. Praying for stuff that really has little to do with you, and praying the heart and the move of God into somebody else's situation. It's a wonderful thing of giving away. How about sharing maybe even my testimony? Is there a dryness to my life? Where's the Holy Spirit? I don't see Him. Don't sense Him. Maybe because I haven't been giving out. Maybe because I haven't been sharing about Him. All that God has given so freely to me, time, talent, and resources, do I pour back out for God's work? That's what's being illustrated here, verse 7. So then she came and told the man of God. She said, hey, look at all this oil. I have all these jars and all these vessels. And then he said, go and sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Principle, it's a good place to write it right here. You and I cannot possibly outpour God. When it looked like it was curtains and disaster all around. What do I do? What do I do? And Elisha here models the word of God that you and I have here in our laps. It's the same principle. What do I do? What do I do? God says, what are you going to do? What do you have? And probably something will leap to mind. I have, well, a little bit of this. I have a little bit of that. Maybe it's time. I know that there's people even in this room who are looking for jobs. And boy, I tell you, the creditors are ringing the phones. What do I do? What do I do? Well, what do you have? time. Use that for Him. Time to pray. What do I have? Even if it's just a little, the only requisite to see God's pouring out is bring an empty vessel. Great, great teaching. Verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. King James says, great. As you know, in many of these ancient cultures, women, as a rule, were sort of never really talked about in these terms. To be sure, there were formidable women all through history. But as you know, most of these cultures, they sort of overlooked women to a large degree. The fact that this prophet here, in the form of Elisha, and cataloged here in our Bible at this time, is pretty amazing, pretty special. And by the way, wherever the gospel has gone, so has women's rights expanded. If you don't know that, it's a fun study in history. And there are people that look at the Bible and they say, no, no, the Bible puts a terrible burden on women. Oh, do our homework and our due diligence. Wherever the gospel has gone, the freedom and the rights and influence of women has also been noticed in no small measure. She is a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there because she would give him food. She's a notable woman. And for you sisters, if it's been a rough go here recently, take out some notes. Guys, you can write some stuff down if you want to, but this is really for our sisters tonight. Example number one of a great woman in the eyes of the Lord is hospitality. Matthew 10, verse 41, Jesus said, "He who receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." So if you embrace Jesus, you embrace his Father or God the Father. "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." What are they talking about? When you receive a man of God, as it were, and you are trying to aid him in his walk with the Lord in ministry, did you know that you share in his prophet's reward as well? Hebrews 13, verse 2, "And do not forget to entertain," or hospitality, "strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." Now, my sisters, I got to let you know, please be wise in this. You're cruising down along the road one day, and you see a person on the side of the road hitchhiking. I would have to say, as a rule, don't pick them up if you're by yourself. Okay, wait till you have someone who can help you, defend you, be with you. But I just think there's a certain wisdom. Ladies, my precious sisters, it's okay to have wisdom in some of these instances. There are many of us in this room, I'll bet, who at times we've talked to another human and we didn't know that, but they were actually angels. There are instances, of course, in both Old and New Testament. Luke 14, verses 12 through 14 says, "When you give a dinner or a supper, don't only invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or even rich neighbors. Invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind." Sounds like the Raiders starting lineup a little bit. But not next year. You watch. We're gonna do well next year. Verse 14, "And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Hospitality. One of the examples of this woman of God. She sees this guy going back and forth. She also notices, as we'll see here in a minute, that when he cruises past her house, he's on his way, it would seem, to the temple. And he seems to make a regular journey of it, especially three times a year. Passover, then Pentecost, and then Tabernacles. And then, as we'll see here in a minute, and new moons as well. And she's putting something together. I sense that there's something about this guy that's important. Verse 9. So she said to her husband, look, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in here. Verse 11. And it happened one day that he did come by, and he turned into their upper room and lay down there. This is example number 2 of the precious sisters who are noble women. Example number 2, order and covering. She discerned correctly. This guy's a godly man. But then look what she does. She runs it through her husband first, under his covering. Her discernment becomes practical ministry and this quiet place of rest for God's minister. She discerned correctly. And there are many of our sisters in the Lord who, as a rule, are frankly more sensitive often to the move of God than their husbands are. And I think that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. When Eve, what was her desire more than anything? Her desire was for her Lord. And remember, when God takes Eve out of Adam, as you've heard us say a bunch of times, much of what women are, men are not. And there's a reason and a purpose. And my precious sisters, spiritual sensitivity is something that God has given you, and praise God for it. At the same time, God has given our sisters a covering. If they're not married, the covering is typically of their father. Some of our single sisters in the room tonight, of course you don't live at home, then your covering could be the pastors and leaders of this church. And other married men in this church that can also act alongside with their wives as a covering as well. I think there's a great model in that. And look what she does. She has this great discernment, like women often do. But sisters, be careful when you want to get out from under that covering. Because after all, my husband, you know, he's just not getting it. Let me run right out on ahead. Well, don't do that. Because whenever we come out from under the covering, even the guys especially, there's trouble out there. Then he, verse 12, then he, Elisha, said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. This is notable woman example number 3. Example number 2 was order and covering. Example number 3 is respectability and accountability. Now, Elisha, of course, is a man of God, and she has correctly discerned that he is a man of God too. Her heart, as it were, has sort of leapt within her, and she's going, I like this guy. And he probably recognizes in her that spiritual sort of, she really loves the Lord. But notice what Elisha does. He doesn't say, let's go to coffee. Let's hang around in the employee dining room, and let's talk about the deep things of God. Notice he doesn't do that. He goes to Gehazi, his servant. You call the Shunammite woman. Elisha does not speak to her directly, but with the accountability of the husband and now Gehazi. Hey, sisters, do not counsel alone or talk deeply with any man who is not your husband. Every time we say this, we get some mail and we catch some heat. And very often, like, Pastor Steve, I'm a grown woman. Or in some cases, I'm a grown man. What are you talking about? I can't sit alone or talk on the phone or converse on Facebook with the opposite gender that's not my spouse. I really think you've gone over the hill on this one. Surely I'm fine with that. Okay, don't believe me. And we'll see you soon on the counseling sofa. I'm just letting you know. be friendly, be respectful and courteous, but truly my sisters and truly my brothers, anything deeper than that with the opposite gender simply and consistently opens the door. It surely does. And look at the model here. Wonderful, notable, great woman. Example number three, respectability and accountability. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 35, and if they, wives, want to learn something taught at church, let them ask their own husbands at home. What does that mean exactly? It means exactly that. Ask your husbands. Well, what if I don't have a husband? What if I'm a single gal? Then we would point you to the leadership of this church, perhaps, with their wives present as well. Here at Harvest, for instance, when there's a gal that would like some counsel, we never counsel alone. Now, husbands, when she comes to you and says, I got a question regarding some theology, and you look at her and you're all, what? Do you have a responsibility to dig in the Word and find the appropriate answer? Absolutely. I get it that parachurch ministries of various kinds have popped up. Because as a rule, most churches are not teaching the Word verse by verse. And so I get it that there is a bit of a famine of the Word of God in most communities. And because of that, these parachurch organizations of teaching through the Bible, I get it that women are hungry for the Word of God. But even still, who is primarily responsible for leading and teaching God's Word in a godly family? Who is that? It's the husbands. And because the husbands have abdicated oftentimes their responsibility to do so, their wives, of course, are looking in other directions. God will use those Bible studies, of course, but I want to hasten. I don't think that's his best. Then Elisha said to Gehazi, his servant, you call the Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he, Elisha, said to him, Gehazi, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. We appreciate that. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? Because Elisha knows the king, you guys. He's well connected. Jehoram, of course, is the king at this time. And I know some high up people. You want me to pull any favors for you? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. She's basically saying, I'm content because I live among friends and family. This is noble woman example number four, contentment. Contentment. I dwell contently and safely among my friends and family. I'm quite content. Now we're going to see here in a minute that actually deep in her heart, she has a great desire. A huge longing. We're going to see here in a minute that her husband is well advanced in years and she doesn't have a son. But notice, even though she had this very large longing in her heart, when the man of God comes up to her, so to speak, with a blank check, what do you want? She says, I am content. Contentment is a learned discipline. Paul will say later, I have learned to be content. It's easy to be content when you got lots of stuff. And if we're not content, but we're sort of grinding under something, sometimes God allows those squeeze plays because what he's doing is he's poking at something that he knows is in there. And like we say before, discontentment requires some homework in the Word of God and in your prayer closet to find out, is this discontentment a God thing, or is it me just sort of bugged at where God has me now?
You've been listening to the Book of Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.